Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
My neighbors just pruned their beautiful palm tree just in time for increased summer sun in my house. Couldn't they have waited until October?
Sarah, timing's a bitch. You know what is the epitome of unsexy? Noticing your butt is covered in a thick coat of cat fur in public.
Now, Heather, I consider this a level up. Cat fur, dog fur, I'm covered in it, and I'm better than the rest of you.
People and their cold plunging. I'll take a hot bath instead. Thank you very much.
Seriously. Have such a good day. Hello, world. Welcome back to
Such a Good Day. The show that wants you to do jazz. Episode 233, Sarah Lane.
233 in the place to be, Heather Frank.
Yeah.
What up? I would like just bump you right now if we were in the same
fist
place.
Bump.
But just know that, no, chest bump, like full on boob bump.
Oh, yeah, full on. Let's do
bump
it.
Bump the boobs. Oh, yeah. I've never actually done
both
that with anybody,
like
but I just
boob.
Feel like that would be fun.
Well, you know, I'm going to be down there next week. Let's make a date.
Let's do it. Let's do a chest bump. Yeah. That's how you know we're legit.
Seriously. Right? And being on episode 233 is, I would say that's pretty legit.
I think so too. 232, yeah. Last week, fun palindrome episode. Heather and I had a really good time, but we're happy to be back. As we say every week, you know, we're just going to keep doing the show. And here we are again, ready to talk lifestyle, the highs, the lows, the ins and outs, the good and the bad, and everything in between.
And the evil.
And the evil, yes.
Life's cruel ironies, you know, the happier moments in between, that sort of wedge themselves in between the bittersweetness, you know, just like little wedge here and there. But no, really, life is good. It's also absurd, but we do like to unpack it all. And we're so happy to have you along for this ride. Because, you know, this show would not exist without you. It would be Sarah and I in a vacuum, just, you know, yakking it up on the phone once a week. And it wouldn't be as fun.
No. I mean, Heather and I, you know, we always talk about the fact that we love doing the show is because we don't live in the same city anymore. We have in the past. You know, we're obviously very good friends. But this is like, you know, it's our check-in. It's like we get to be together. But the bonus is that other people get something out of the show, which
exactly.
is just,
exactly.
I was about to say humbling, but I'm not going to use that word because that's for suckers. It's just, it's heartwarming, I guess.
Well, it is. Yeah. We're killing two birds with one stone. Sarah.
We're killing birds. A lot of stones.
You would never kill a bird.
Bird in the hand, two in the bush. I don't know. There are lots of like bird phrases where I'm like,
put a bird on it.
Exactly. Yeah. Put a bird on it. But when I said humbled out loud, I wanted to throw up in my mouth a little bit because there are a couple of things that, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later in the show, but there are a few things that I've been thinking about lately of like, you know, it used to be sort of just like internet culture stuff. Mm-hmm. And now it's just like, oh, so uncouth. For example, hashtag humbled. It's like, yeah. Fuck you. You're not totally. Humbled. You're bragging and everyone knows it.
Yeah.
So just stop. Or this was one of my favorites. I don't see it anymore, really, but I used to see it back in the day. Like back in the day, like 15 years ago. Hashtag life is good.
Oh, what about blessed? Hashtag blessed.
Oh, hashtag blessed, of course. Yeah, I mean, that's the most obvious one, but like,
it's ironic really now.
But like, I mean, when someone's like, hashtag life is good, it's like, okay, you had a good day.
Okay, you're a robot, I guess.
Also, like, life is good because we're alive.
But also
it's really, really punishing. So I don't exactly. want to hear that shit.
Because no one's going to do hashtag life sucks. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure that hashtag exists out there. But
Probably, but nobody
wants to be a Debbie Downer. I mean, it's not a very sexy thing to be. But Sarah, yeah, this is always a fun conversation. I love talking about how weird the internet has gotten. Weird internet speak. And that all those hashtags they're kind of dated now. It's like, I mean, people who use hashtags obviously for their business, you know, like hashtag podcast, hashtag I'm a best-selling author, blah, 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 blah. But do people use hashtags in this sense anymore? I'm not really sure.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
They're either joking or taking themselves thing. Too seriously.
I used to be on a real big soapbox about like hashtags were made for a reason, okay? They started on Twitter. It was about finding content that is relevant to your interests. And now people like put, you know, hashtag sentences ironically in tweets.
I've been guilty of that.
I hate that. You know, and for a while I was just like, gosh, I hate everybody who does that. And then after a while I was like, I really don't care that much.
Yeah.
And
yeah, yeah.
Let them live. They just look like, you know, old ladies. But you do see some of that still, but less so.
Yeah, yeah, less so. I mean, I think people maybe are less annoying in that way, but then, you know, there's other things that pop up that become annoying. There's never not an annoying internet-like phenomenon. I mean, it just turns, it morphs into something else that's annoying or whatever. And you know, we evolve, we get better. in sure. some ways. Maybe yeah. we digress, yeah. but
trends, you know, will trend.
They will. They will yeah, indeed.
You know,
in their
they
nature.
Come and go.
Yeah. Sarah, speaking of the internet and just sort of phone use, I'm curious. I feel like, you know, when you hear someone talk at length about some trip they took that was, you know, turning their phone off, and they went into a retreat, and they couldn't be on their phones, and they couldn't talk for 2 days or whatever it is. And I'm always like, huh, I'm like intrigued, but I'm not sure if I'll ever do that personally. It's like doing mm-hmm. a fast. Like, will I ever actually do a 12-day fast? I don't think so. I'm too hungry. I'm too hungry of a person, or I'm not sure that I'm super into those extremes. But I do believe that we overuse our phones, and that, you know, this whole vicious cycle of dopamine and whatnot. So I was curious, and I'm not totally sure about your rituals. Do you, when you go to bed, do you plug your phone in the other room, or do you put it next to your bed?
Oh, to keep it out of the bedroom.
Yeah.
So we've talked about this before. I think I'm slightly unusual as far as like modern day internet consumption, because I mean, I don't even know where my phone is right now. I have computers in the house. I like a keyboard. Mm-hmm. I like a laptop.
Yeah.
Same. I like, you know, like the phone is something that I use when I'm out and about. And often it's really just to like listen to music in my car. Hmm. You know, like I don't really want to like talk to people when I'm out and about because I'm busy.
Yeah.
You know, so going to bed at night, sometimes, you know, if it's like, you know, 10:30 p.m., which is right about, you know, my Cinderella time. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm not already tucked in, it's time to get ready for bed, you know, yeah. wash face, brush teeth, go to bed. And sometimes I'll be like, oh, my phone is like 5% battery. I should charge it. And I have a mm-hmm. charger right by the bed. Mm-hmm. But almost all the time, I just don't think about it because I want to go to sleep.
Yeah.
I don't want the phone near me. It's not going to help me. If there was an emergency, I suppose that would be, you know, a great reason to always have the phone next to you. But I've got my watch, you know, and my watch is not far enough from my phone that it wouldn't ping me. Like if my mother called me at 3 a.m., mm-hmm. like my watch would vibrate I would probably wake up.
Okay.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, as much as I would if my phone, you know, same thing. So yeah, I don't. I will say though, uh-huh. I will say, so I got a new TV recently, a couple weeks, a few weeks ago. It's huge. It's crazy. I love it so much. But my old TV, which is extremely old, and just like, it's not like a living room TV, but it's perfectly fine. You know, mm-hmm. with an Apple TV, you're good to go. Now that's in the bedroom. I was a very staunch no TV in the bedroom person for years, mm-hmm. like a decade. I was just like, nah, bedrooms are for sleeping and getting dressed. That's what they're for. Or reading, you know, at the end of the day type thing. But oh, I'll tell you, Heather.
It's pretty
just
luxurious.
Being able to put on a little Vanderpump Rules, you know, as I'm like, you know,
dozing
going
off.
To sleep.
Yeah.
It's a nice option.
When I stay in hotels, which is not that often, but sometimes, I do like having the TV right there, and I can kind of kick back in bed. It is definitely luxurious. I guess it's kind of the same thing where, because I bring my phone to bed, and I look at it for like anywhere from a minute to like 20 minutes before bed. Elijah is very strict about putting his phone outside the room. So he puts it in his office, plugs it in.
Yeah.
It's way far away. If someone called him, he wouldn't get it till the morning. And he's always kind of trying to encourage me because I have mine plugged by my, or on my nightstand essentially. But I tend to like to kind of do, button up a few things, you know, get in bed. I might play a couple like Words with Friends, you know, just like I haven't been playing.
Yeah,
and
a little wind down.
And, you know, sometimes it can get a little out of hand because I'll be like, oh gosh, a whole half an hour passed. I really need to turn the light out. So I realize in these kinds of small habits that you can form where it's like, yeah, just no big deal. Put your phone outside your room. I'm not that disciplined. I don't want to put all these really intense rules on myself. But I was reading this this article. This was via Chrissy Rutherford. I follow her. She's a writer. She was talking about, you know, just that morning scrolling thing, because I do that. I basically get my phone. I get my tea. You know, I do my games. I try not to look at the news right away, but I might get sucked into a news story if it kind of popped up and I'm like, ooh, intrigued. And then I'll do that before I do my games. But, you know, your dopamine levels are really high in the morning. And so what I think is really fascinating to me, and I'm really just trying to learn more about this, because sometimes, you know, when you grab your phone first thing in the morning and you're scrolling, you know, and your dopamine levels are super high, then when they drop back down, you're kind of setting yourself up for failure, you know? If what she's saying is like, if you lack motivation to go like exercise in the morning, you'll need more dopamine post scrolling first thing in the morning to generate motivation. And I find that kind of, I kind of suspect that happens to me a bit, because I will get that first kind of hit from like, I love playing the games. It's just this great ritual. I look forward to it. It's snuggle back in and just like playing the games.
Like there are times where I'm like 6:45, I want to play my games.
Yeah.
I'm out of bed. Like I'm like start my motivated to get out of bed because I want to play my game.
Totally. Same. And I mean, I very rarely, sometimes I will get completely insanely busy in the morning and I can't get to it right away. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I really try to carve out that ritual. But anyway, more food for thought, just, you know, stuff to think about, my friends, as we navigate this wild world of technology.
Well, and, you know, and I know we've talked about this a lot. Heather, you and I we're pretty similar as far as our like circadian rhythms these days.
Yeah.
But, you know, I talk to a lot of people and I know a lot of people who, you know, they're not early risers. Mm-hmm. They stay up later than me and they're just as productive, if not more, really. And I just, you know, post 10 p.m., if you were to ask me to do like a very simple task, like play hopscotch, I'd be like, can't do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm truly depleted as a human, you know?
Totally.
You know, my eyes are still open, but brain's not really here anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm totally ready. I'm ready for slumber. In the morning, I feel like I'm, you know, let's do it. Let's play games. I'm going to look at, you know, my utility bill. I'm going to, you know, make some eggs. Like,
wow, you sound
like
so
nothing bad has happened yet.
Yet.
Like, yeah. Like I'm going to, you know, I'm going to crank through some stuff, like not even fun stuff, mm-hmm. because nobody's bothering me yet. You know, if the utility bill comes in at 11:30 a.m., I'm not even looking at that because I'm busy at that point, you know, like too many other things have happened that, you know, make it sort of like that whole, like the opposite of a dopamine hit where you're just like, life sucks.
Yeah, totally. God. Have those days. But today was interesting because there are, I have a lot of days like this, like yesterday and today, where I'm so hyper inspired. And it's like not even like, it's like I all day long since I woke up this morning, I've been just really productive and like my mind's been really sharp. That's funny. But I'm bouncing back and forth from like reading articles that are like interesting and then like sharing them with other people, having conversations with other people, doing the show notes, doing you know, my other regular work and just sort of buttoning things up and doing my lists and just, I feel like I'm like the pistons are going, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I don't know why some days are like that and others aren't, where there's some days where I'm just like I feel like Garfield, you know, on a Monday.
I mean, I feel like for me it, because I never really know, I can go to bed again, like 10:30 is like, that's my magic hour. You know, I even have a little thing on my watch, like it goes like dee dee dee.
Same.
You know, like at 10:30, like I'm either
time
like,
to wind down.
I know, Apple Watch, I'm already in bed, or I'm like, oh yeah, I should go to bed. But that's my like wrap it up. You know, if you haven't already, because that means if I go to bed, even if I kind of dilly dally a little bit, you know, till about 6:30, that's the better part of an 8-hour sleep, which is great. Mm-hmm. Now, I rarely do that. I rarely, you know, get the full 8 hours. But I feel like set myself up for success.
Yeah,
that's absolutely. That's what I'm trying to do. Like, even if I'm, you know, sort of restless, or, you know, have to get up in the middle of the night a couple times to pee, which happens often, you know, it's like, at least just set yourself up for success. Mm-hmm. But I do, there are, you know, there are mornings where I wake up and I'm like, wow, I think I just slept the better part of 8 hours. Wow, yeah. That was awesome. Uh-huh. I wasn't too hot. I didn't have to pee. I had water by the bed, didn't even need it. And there are other mornings where I, you know, it's time to get up and I'm like, I've been up since like 3,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. like maybe I kind of fell back asleep, but I've just been tossing and turning. I'm too hot, you know, like I, you know, my pajamas are bothering me, you know, like there's yeah. all sorts of just whatever. And that always ends up making my, you know, the eventual day that I have to have that much harder.
Yeah, you're more like in a kind of a weird frenzy. I mean,
you just start off on a bad foot.
Wrong. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you got out of bed on the wrong side. No,
wrong side
of the bed.
Whatever it yeah. is. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Sarah, every day is a new adventure. So,
it is. So Heather, I don't want to go on and on about the eclipse that we all enjoyed on Monday. Well, I mean, I didn't enjoy it personally because we're in California, so mm-hmm. there was nothing to see. Although I did have like a few friends who were just like, oh my God, I'm on the, you know, roof of the Soho house, like enjoying the eclipse. And I'm like, what are you enjoying? You live in Los Angeles. It's like, there's a crescent. I'm like, okay. I mean, okay. I get it. People want to be a part of something big.
Sure.
I got it. Yeah. No worries. Mm-hmm. I didn't bother with it.
You're not a big space gal.
Not a big space gal. I also just felt like, you know, here I am in my office right now as I'm talking to you, you know, looking out my window, wall of windows to my left. And on Monday I was like, it's just sunny. No clouds in the sky. Looks like a normal day. And people were like, yeah, but aren't the shadows kind of different? I'm like, no, they're not. It's just sunny. Yeah, I mean, listen, I want it to be cool, but it's just like, let's not pretend that it's like cooler than it is. However, if you were in certain areas of the U.S., which many people were, or traveled to be part of that, it was a really big deal, which is super cool. I was watching the NASA live stream, and I actually had to turn it off at some point because I was getting like kind of teary. You know, because like, you know, people were just like, oh my God, I can't believe it. Wow. Totality. You know, and I'm like, oh, that looks really fun, kind of, because yeah, people totally. Are losing their minds.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much you were, you know, clocked into all that, Heather.
Well, it's really funny because I'm actually usually really into space stuff, and I get excited about this stuff. I mean, in 2017, there was another eclipse. I believe it was a full one. But I think it was very similar.
And I was
on the East Coast, and I have a cool photo.
Yes, 2017. Yeah.
Yeah, of me looking at it. I think I was wearing a Led Zeppelin shirt, and I was looking at it with the glasses, and I remember really digging it. And it was like, you know, you saw the black, you know, the whole thing was black, and then you have like the rim that's kind of like the sun, the golden kind of rim, and everything, you know, had those kind of crescent shadows, and everything had like a diffusedness to it that was kind of cool visually, like as if you put like a slightly darker filter on the world. And I don't know what it was. It was like, I read a lot about this eclipse. I was definitely up on it, you know, knew what was going on, and I was interested in it as I usually am. But when the day came, I mean, it was Monday, and so I was like busy. And I had a conference call at 10, which was right smack dab when it was happening. And I remember, and so again, like I kind of wish I would have made a bigger deal out of it. Cause like I said, it does excite me. I kind of kicked myself at the end of the day. I'm like, man, I didn't even get glasses. Like I didn't even try to get glasses. So what happened was I did this conference call, and while I was on it was a long one. I'm, you know, my desk, when I look at my computer, I can look out the window toward the ocean. And there was that vibe of like a slightly darker filter on everything. Like the ocean, it was a clear day, so it was a beautiful day. The ocean just kind of was like dark blue in like kind of a inorganic way. It was like, whoa, that's a weird blue that the ocean is right now. And same with the sky and the flowers and the grass was just kind of this darker hue. And then I went into the bathroom and we have this like really small square window above the toilet. And I was kind of like, I was like, where's the sun? You know, and I'm like looking through this tiny window, like, where is it? And then I ended up finding it and looked directly at it without glasses on because I'm a dummy. And
way
I
to
totally
go, Trump.
Like, yeah, I know, such a dummy. And but I saw it for a split second, you know, eclipsing. And then I got like that burned like mark on your eyeball, you know, that's like kind of like a iridescent squiggly thing.
Yeah.
And like, I saw that for like 15 minutes and I was like, oh, fuck. I like fucked up my eyeballs. This is bad. Like I was kind of worried for a second. I'm like, why did I do that? I didn't mean to, but it definitely was like strong. It was like a strong, you know, like bright light. You're not supposed to look at it. So yeah, I kind of failed at the, attempt.
But just real quick. So the strong bright light, like I get it. Mm-hmm. Yes, you know, don't look directly at the sun. You're going to burn your retina, et cetera, et cetera. But I feel like a lot of people, not you included, Heather, but a lot of people are sort of like, they got the impression because there's so much sort of like, especially with like school children, like you got to wear the glasses. You don't want to look up at the sun, mm-hmm. you know? So people think like, oh, the sun is stronger. And it's like, well, actually, no. It's just that you don't look directly at the sun the rest of the year.
Yeah. And why wouldn't it?
So you do because you're curious and that's where you run into problems to the point that a friend of mine lives on the East Coast, very nice person, very smart, actually works in space exploration, weirdly enough. But he was like, should I like get like glasses for my dog? I mean, she loves like our front room and kind of, you know, loves to kind of like soak up the sun. Like, would this be like a bad idea? And I'm like, does she look at the sun normally in that room? And he's like, I mean, I guess. And I'm like, because actually it would be less strong because, you know, eclipse.
It's covered. Well, that's exactly what I was just going to say is like, basically the whole sun is covered by a black circle.
Yeah.
And then you've got the edges. So why would it be worse for your eyes? I mean,
I think it's there are a lot of reasons, but I mean, I think that the big takeaway is that people don't look and stare at the sun normally.
True.
I mean, it hurts. You know, what are you getting out of it? I mean, there's just no reason, right?
Oh, you
know,
you get
that's
a lot
what sunglasses were made for. Or just, you know, or you know, baseball hats or, you know, both. Mm-hmm. But this, you know, makes people want to look at the sun. And that's where
you get into issues.
Because it's like, oh, something's happening up there. But it's like, okay, but don't look at it directly. I mean, it's like really bad for you.
Well, yeah. And then animals. I mean, dude, animals totally seek out sun. I don't know if they stare right at it. But, I mean, they probably have the same instinct to like not stare at it. But yeah, during an eclipse, that's a good question. Interesting. We'll have to pose it to the internet and see what they have to say.
Yes, yes. All the veterinarians out there listening to us, do write in. hi@havesuchagoodday.com and let us know, you know, what we should tell our friends
and
whose
our
dogs
pets
may have been looking at a totality eclipse.
Yes. So, Sarah, I know you kind of know this about me, but you know, I travel the world and I have many celebrity friends in my dreams. And it's this crazy thing that I've always had. And it's a huge joke between me and my boyfriend because he's always like, God, you always have these dreams about some random celebrity that I don't even think about or talk about. And I don't know what it is. Maybe I had just seen a movie with them in it. But I did have a very, very vivid dream, like so vivid to the point where right when I wake up, it's like that was my life. But then I'm like, oh, wait, no, this is my life. It feels so real. And I had this dream that Kristen Stewart, K-Stew, invited me to her compound that spanned like many city blocks. It was in some foreign metropolitan city. I don't remember where. But like we were buds, and she was like a normal human, like not a, I mean, she was a celebrity, but like to me, she was just like a buddy. She just wasn't fancy and wasn't a, you know, big star. And, you know, she was just like my bud. I had known her for a really long time and I knew her in my dream. Like I knew who she was as a person, her characteristics. And I find it to be so extraordinary sometimes how I really feel like I'm living like another life. And I get sad when I hear, like my sister talks about how hard it is for her to sleep. And I try not to like talk about how good of a sleeper I am, you know, because I don't want to brag, but I literally go places. Like I feel like I live like an exciting life, like a second life. Like I'm getting like a 2-for-1, you know, like I've got my day life and then I got my night life. and it just, yeah. I'm so, grateful for it, I guess. And it sort of feeds my creativity. And I noticed throughout the day, like when I do have a very exciting dream life, you know, some nights I don't really remember what happened. And then, but I do have it very, very often when I have a super vivid dream where I'm like, was that something I really did? So as I move on with my life, sometimes I'll look back on my dreams and go, wait, did that actually happen? Not the case do stuff, but like other little details where I'm like, maybe that wasn't a dream. Like, and so it's hard for me to distinguish sometimes between what was something that I dreamt with my subconscious and what I actually experienced. Anyway, I was curious if y'all out there have dreams like this. I mean, I don't know if they call it lucid dreaming, but I've been this way my whole life. Even when I
well,
when
lucid
I was a kid.
Dreaming is, I mean, a term for when you're inside a dream and you know it. So
that
you're like, okay,
sure.
I can kind of write this narrative. Like,
yes.
I can jump off this cliff. I know I'm not going to die. I'm just in a dream. Kind of.
But more, yeah. I think more along the lines of just
I have
vivid.
That very rarely. Mm-hmm. When I do, it's awesome. You know, because yeah. I'm like, oh, wait, I'm not in college. I don't have to worry about going to class. F y'all.
Yeah, there's sometimes when I have these dreams that are so real that I wake up and I'm just like, whew, like, you know, wipe my brow. Like, wow, I'm in this apocalyptic and scary. And then I'm just like so stoked that like that isn't my life. But, you know, for however many hours I was in that dream, it felt so real, like scary real. I find it to be the most fascinating thing. I think if I were to go back to, you know, study something else, I would study dreams.
I don't remember. I don't know. I was having crazy dreams this morning. It was also, I don't know if you're the same way, Heather, but there are certain times of the night, like, you know, earlier I said, I often will, you know, wake up at like 3-4 a.m. and just be like, I have until 7, but I can't go back to sleep. I can't get comfortable. I can't relax. I'm thinking about the day. But on the days that I am able to do that, I often have like the most wild, vivid dreams. They don't happen right when I first go to sleep. Mm-hmm. It's all like right before I have to get up. Mm-hmm. And that's why like I wake up and I'm like, okay, that wasn't real. But like, God, it felt so real. Yeah. It felt so real life.
It does.
And
it's
wild.
I don't know. And I know a lot of people who don't dream like that. They like a friend of mine who lives up here, actually, she's like, you know, I don't really dream. I'm like, well, you probably dream. You just don't remember. But to remember and to be aware of this experience that
but
you
it's
had.
Like, if you don't remember, do you dream? You know, like, that's a funny question, right? It's like,
I don't know. Oh, yeah. It's like, did the tree fall in the forest? Yeah.
Are those dreams happening or not? I mean, I'm sure like the, you know, the brain stuff is firing, you know, all night because that's how we all sort of, I don't know, our brains kind of reset for the next day.
Totally.
But yeah, that's, I mean, I've had, like, not even that long ago, I had a nightmare. I happened to be, you know, in the same room as somebody who was like, whoa, Sarah, whoa, what is happening? You know, I was like, oh my gosh, did I scream out loud? Oh, God. I was having a nightmare. Yeah. But, like, in real life, I was like, ah!
You're like falling off a cliff or something. Yeah.
Something. Yeah. Like, I don't even know what it was. You know, I don't remember anymore. But I've witnessed that with other people. But even like dreams that are not nightmares, like, mm-hmm. you know, a nightmare is, you know, I'm scared, I'm running from something, I'm mm-hmm. falling, you know, yeah. something terrible has happened, you know, nightmare stuff. It's like, yep. that's a certain kind of dream. Nobody wants that. Mm-hmm. But I have those. It's anxiety, I think, you know,
just absolutely.
Kind of, you know, manifesting itself, you know, while I'm trying mm-hmm. to, you know, sleep and be not anxious. But then there are other dreams that are like, they're not nightmares, but they're so bizarre. Mm-hmm. You know, I wake up and I'm like, that was really messed up. Mm-hmm. Like, what is up, Sarah?
Yeah, sometimes I have a dream and
you know,
I don't
like,
even
did
want to
I
talk
eat too
to
much chili
it.
Paste last night?
Chili paste.
I don't know. Like what is I don't
yeah, like
need
spices
like
spices or something.
Yeah, like the dreams where you're like, that was just really bizarre.
Yeah.
And not in a good way. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like if I were I sometimes go like, I mean, Heather, you and I, we've watched our fair share of like very bizarre movies together because you and I uh-huh. both kind of like that whole thing, you yeah. know, where we walk out of the theater and we're like, what was that?
Whoa.
What just happened? Yeah. But it's like, I don't want to wake up from a dream and feel that way. Mm-mm. I want to go pay money, get some popcorn and, you know, choose that for myself
yeah.
on any given Sunday.
Speaking of weird movies, Sarah.
Oh.
I'm glad you brought this up. So the movie that I worked on a year ago, The Sasquatch Sunset, y'all, we've talked about it a few times on
yeah.
the show.
Yeah, yeah.
It is officially coming out into theaters on the 19th, which is next Friday. And there's been a lot of publicity around it. There was a really cool, I'll send it to you, Sarah. There's a cool article in the New York Times. They did a kind of a PR stunt. One of the guys, Nathan Zellner, he's one of the directors. He was an actor in the movie too. He was one of the Sasquatch. He was like kind of the big tall guy, and they had him. They released him. They let him loose in Central Park, and like, you know, took video and photographs and kind of saw how people reacted to him. And it was kind of a cool stunt. I thought it was very funny. I'm excited. It's like, I feel like there's just a lot of buzz around it right now, and I'm going to go see it. I mean, I don't think I can see it on the 19th, but probably the 20th, I'm going to try to go see it down in LA, with, some people. And, I'm excited to actually see it on the silver screen and like, actually, I mean, it's going to be really wild. I've never seen anything like that. I mean,
well,
I
you know, Heather,
TV.
I also live in LA, so yeah. you know, maybe I could be
down.
Part of this fun, you know,
absolutely.
Theater troupe.
Well, it's yeah. at 4:20 on 4:20, so it's not hard to keep track of
got
that.
It. Got it. Okay. Yeah.
I'm sure they did that on purpose. Yeah. Even mm-hmm. though it's not even a stony movie. I mean, it's not a stoner movie in the sense that drugs are used in the movie, but I think maybe for stoners,
maybe if you were to imbibe, you
yeah,
would, you know,
it could be fun.
Yeah, sure.
Well, it's funny.
I mean, it's not going to hurt you.
I've had some, yeah, exactly. I've had some friends ask, they're like, can I take, so like, I have a friend who has like a 12-year-old. Do you think I could take? And I'm like, yeah, I mean, it's rated R, but let me look at the rating. You know, there's a little bit of blood, but it's not like scary. It's more of a comical blood. And then there's,
yeah.
You know, there's no swearing because it's all grunting. There's no actual language, but they are nude. There's a lot of nudity. But the funny thing about there being nudity is they're not actually
nude.
That's
the best thing you've ever said, Heather.
What?
The best thing you've ever said is like,
what?
Well, there's no, like, I mean, profanity because nobody's talking. They're just grunting.
Yeah, they're just grunting. I mean, I mean, and I thought it was so funny the way they said it's, there's like extensive nudity, but they're not wearing clothes, but they're covered in fur. So it's like,
right.
Nudity,
I mean,
yeah,
my dog doesn't wear clothes either.
Exactly. But there are a few like genitalia, but like in a comical way. And it's going to be a wild, you know, viewing experience. It's not like any other movie I think you've even seen. So yes, 4:20 on Saturday the 20th. This is happening. I will keep you posted. Yeah, I'm hoping to just get a gaggle of people to come to the theater and we can yeah. be rowdy. And
I'll be one
really
of your
fun.
Geese.
That would be awesome. I would love that.
Absolutely. All right. So as we're kind of talking about, you know, social media and, you know, the way that Heather and I, you know, either have phones by the bed, nightstand style or not. And everybody kind of has their own thing. I tend to just sort of say, like, do what works for you.
You do you.
Yeah, you do you. I suffer from, I don't know if I suffer from insomnia, but, you know, I have it. I feel like bouts. I suffer from it, you know, sometimes. Yeah. But anyway, that's all about sleeping. What I want to talk about is not about sleeping at all. It's more about just dealing with social media while you're awake. And Heather, we are on episode 233. We have talked about this many times in the past, but one of the things that you and I were talking about, I think it was yesterday, just kind of, you know, off-channel conversation, was you had mentioned, like, oh, did you see so-and-so's latest, like, Instagram story? Uh-huh. And I'm like, oh, yeah, no, because I never watch stories. And you're like, you've missed so much of my life, because, like, I love, you know, I love sharing through stories.
I just like to pop stuff, like, on there. Just, like, it's so easy. Just, like, boom, 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 boom. And you can just make a little, like, collage.
See, and
know?
I feel like stories... For me, as a creator, from a creator standpoint, I'm like, I don't know. It's like, there's too much pressure. I'll just, like, find a photo, maybe a video, but usually a photo, and just post it when I feel like it. That's my comfort
level
with all the stuff.
See, I find more pressure from doing a regular static post that lives there always. Like, I kind of gruel over it a little bit more, where I'm like, this is going to live here. This is going to be... But I feel like I should switch, because it would be nice for my stuff to be actually, you know, I'm like, sometimes I want to access my stories, and I know you can, but I like having my little collage of my life, you know, and if I have it all in stories, then I have nothing. It just disappears.
Yeah. So I'm looking at my Instagram right now, because this happened just earlier today. So I have two Instagram accounts. One is mine. One is Otis the dog's Instagram, Otis Redding Lane. Please follow him. He loves, you know, friends. But when Otis is doing his thing, I am, like, I don't go back and forth all that often. Like, I'll be on Otis's Instagram, and, like, I won't switch accounts for, like, a week kind of thing, you know? And, like, somebody will be like, oh, did you see so-and-so's thing? Or I'm like, oh, Sarah Lane's following that. Okay, let me go back to that. You know, like, it's just
kind
whatever.
Of not that easy to, switch back.
I mean, it is. But I just, like, I don't know. Sometimes I want to hang out as my dog.
Yeah.
Just
I get it.
Look at other dog content. It's like, you know, there's, you know, nobody's asking too much of me type thing, you know, and I don't have to, like, look at people's babies, you know, it's all like puppies.
Yeah.
So, but because of that, I do miss things. I mean, not even talking about stories, which of course I would miss anyway. But just today, because you and I were talking about it, you know, it got into my head. So I was like, yeah, let me, like, log back into, you know, Sarah Lane Instagram and, like, see what's up. And in my messages, it's like I've been added to, like, a variety of stories. But the stories are now, you know, they've expired. There's no way for me to, like, see what, like, where I was even, like, mentioned, you know, and, like, these are friends of mine. So, like, no big deal. I'm sure it was, like, a cute, like, you know, maybe, like, a memory or, you know, something like that. But I'm like, this sucks. This is why I don't like this stupid ephemeral stuff. It's like, I get why it is fleeting, and that, like you said, Heather, it makes people feel like less pressure.
Yeah.
You know, you put it out there and then it's gone, and then, you know,
and
it's like
very
the wind.
Casual. It's like the stuff I post on stories is very, like, I don't know if I want it on the permanent feed. I'm just sort of like, it's sort of like an observation or quick little blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't know. And it's just more fun for the moment, I guess. But then I see other people doing the same thing with, they'll do, like, a collage, you know, in the main feed. And I'm like, oh, I should do that more. Because then I'm like, that this is something where I could keep track of like all my, you know, experiences or whatever in like a feed. And I like that. It's like a scrapbook. You know, I like the scrapbook element of it. But it is true. I was thinking, Sarah, that you do miss people's lives. Like even some of your like best friends, you're like, oh my God, I have no idea what they're doing. Even though, sure, you know what I'm doing. It's not that. But in terms of like day-to-day stuff and sort of the visual elements of their lives, I mean, it's just so interesting how, you know, and then you've got those people who don't post at all, you know, and that don't even get on Instagram. So they don't see your Instagram life. I mean, I know some people up here that have never even had Instagram. And it's a bit of a weird thing for me because I'm like, well, shit, you know, he wanted to see some photos from my trip to Hawaii. I'm like, well, like, didn't you see it on Instagram? It's like, what, am I going to send you like a library of my photos from my trip? You know? So, yeah.
Right.
It's all very interesting.
Yeah. Well, and that's funny because it's like, people will now joke about like, remember on Facebook when, you know, somebody had like a birthday night out and like uploaded like 25 photos from like dinner
yeah,
and totally. Like tagged everybody. Cause you know, it was like, that's kind of what we were doing back in those early days of like,
yeah,
you know, we need to make sure that, you know, we've tagged the appropriate people and everyone knows that there was an event, call it something, you know, all good. And, you know, now it's sort of like if someone does that, you're like, are you okay?
I mean, yeah, like at your location.
It's
like
a little much.
I often don't even put my location because it feels like a lot. Like I'm just like, I don't know.
Right.
Too much disclosure.
Of course. I mean, there's a very real safety aspect of that. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, like if I take a cute photo of my dog, sorry, full disclosure, sometimes I run my dog's account. He doesn't actually run it completely himself. but I'm like, they don't need to know where we were. It, you know, what does it matter? Like, it doesn't help my, like, cute, you know, picture slash caption. But yes. So anyway, the whole kind of people trying to tag each other in stuff works to a point. And I don't spend a lot of time on TikTok. I know a lot of y'all do out there. And I just don't. If somebody sends me a link and is like, this is going to be really funny, I look at it, and often it is, you know, and then I'll be like, okay, follow that person. But I don't. That is not a open up a tab, look at TikTok every day type thing for me at all. Instagram I do, though.
Same.
Well, on my dog's account. On my personal account, you know, more like once a week. But then I see these messages where it's like, oh, so-and-so, you know, added you to their reel. And I'm like, well, hope it was good. Because it's gone now. And oh, well.
It's sort of the constant sort of, you know, none of these platforms are perfect. And it's hard to... I don't know. It's hard to participate sometimes when you're not in the mood, but then you feel bad because you missed something. I mean, you can't win, Sarah.
No, you can't.
But here's what resonated with me this week. Sort of a pick of the week. Do you like how I just created a new show segment, Sarah?
I do. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought this could be fun. I was just sort of thinking about this for a while and like talking to my sister a lot. You know, because she kind of tends to be more of an anxious overthinker kind of person. I have to like talk her off the ledge about things and, you know, life and the world and how, you know, kind of chaotic it is right now. And the constant pressure to like know all the information because it's all at your fingertips, you know, just like the typical pressure of the information highway of, you know, just trying to be on top of it all. It kind of is a good segue from what we were just talking about is, it is hard to keep up with people's stories and what is going on in everybody's lives. And we have a lot of friends. We're very popular.
That's
hashtag
right.
Humble. I just wanted to mention, I don't want to get too into the weeds with this because we could. And maybe I'll bring it back up in a later episode. But I listened to a really fascinating podcast yesterday on Fresh Air, NPR, from an author and a podcast host. Her name is Amanda Montell. Very smart cookie. She talks about you know, a lot of things. She actually has a podcast called Sounds Like a Cult. You might be interested, Sarah, because, you know, she talks about cults and sort of what, how they sort of breed this, you know, collective thinking and how people, you know, start believing in, like, you know, conspiracy theories and that kind of thing. So that's like one thing. But she also talks about how our brains are like so overloaded with like this constant stream of information in the information age, and how weird that life seems to make less sense now, even though we're living in an information age. And her book is called The Age of Magical Overthinking. Yeah, so she talks about all kinds of things. But the one thing that struck me was, you know, just this idea of, yeah, why isn't life more organized and less chaotic? Because we've got the internet, we've got all these things, you know, and then everything just seems a little bit more chaotic. But she also talks about this thing called the halo effect. And this is sort of in line with a lot of, you know, you watch a lot of reality TV, you watch a lot of TikTok. I don't do either of those things. Maybe I'm missing out. Maybe I'm not sure. But she basically talks about this idea of, you know, you see a pop star and you assume that they're also really cool and fun and kind and worldly, or you enjoy someone's fashion sense and you jump to this conclusion that they're like gregarious or they speak other languages, and, you know, where we have like no evidence of like who they are. And it sort of sets up people for this psychological failure, which is, you know, following someone on the internet and perceiving that they're someone who they are not. And then you look up to this person, you put them on such a pedestal, and then you're like kind of disappointed. Very interesting stuff. I highly recommend it. She's also writes for Esquire and she writes for other things. Again, her book is The Age of Magical Overthinking. I really think this is something that our audience would be interested in. So yeah, that's sort of what resonated with me this week. I did buy her book, so I'll report back. Definitely some good food for thought. Like I said, I only listened to the one podcast, so I only could, you know, sort of unpack a little portion of what she talked about, but extremely smart chick. Email us at hiihavesuchagoodday.com if you have any comments, or let us know what's resonating with you right now. We would love book or movie or music recommendations, podcasts, you know, whatnot. And don't forget to spread the good word about Have Such a Good Day while you're at it. Hi at havesuchagoodday.com.
Indeed.
Thank you.
Indeed. Speaking of how to spread the word, if you're a patron, thank you. We appreciate you more than you will ever know. Patreon.com/havesuchagoodday is where to find out more about how to directly support our show. We tell you every week, but hey, you might be listening and being like, maybe this is the week that, you know, I might convert into a patron. It is for as little as $1 a month. But, you know, you can get crazy if you want to. But for the $5 a month and up level, you can join our Discord. We've got a great, great bunch of folks in Discord. We've really become like great buds. I hope they feel the same as we do. But just a cool, just nice group of folks, really interesting, great stories all over the world. It's just awesome.
It's a good crew.
It's a really good crew. You know, can't thank y'all more about that. But yes, for patron curious folks, this will allow you to get a ad-free version of the feed. A lot of people, you know, just don't like commercials. So this is a great way to just get rid of those. Otherwise, we will always offer the show free for you. So you've got choices. But again, please do consider directly supporting us. We couldn't do it without you.
Exactly. Well put, Sarah. And we do have a couple new and increased patrons. Hammock, which I love that name. Douglas.
I love a good hammock.
Yeah, and I will say I kind of have a little bit of a crush on this patron. I don't know him personally, but I really love his emails. I think he's a great writer, and I just always find his stuff to be super fascinating and very thoughtful. And he wrote us, his name is Paul. And sorry, I hope you're not blushing out there.
Okay, Heather, rein it in.
he was commenting on when we were talking about retail therapy last week, He says, the segment on retail therapy made me bristle. I don't know what it says about me, but recalling weekends as a teen, wandering one local mall or another, gravitating to some stores and avoiding others, triggers some kind of deep unease of time mindlessly wasted, perhaps. So much so that the last time I entered a mall was ages ago, and it literally brought on a panic attack. That feeling of, I have to get out of here ASAP, is not one I'd like to revisit. All that to say that even scrolling websites and social media to approximate that window shopping pastime makes me reflexively not want what people are selling. I assume that it's all connected mentally for me. But when I see the same ads for the same things across Instagram and email newsletters, YouTube reviews and such, I find myself thinking I'm onto their games and I'm having none of it. Close tab, close app, bye-bye. I know they're just trying to exist and operate by the rules of modern economics, but they also want me to forget that I have things which I already don't use enough of, to have justified purchasing, and yet that little buy now free shipping pill saying happiness awaits is following me around like the good dedicated web cookie it is. Stay sane, internet friends. Very well put.
Very well put, Paul. Yeah. Hear, hear. Yeah, I mean, listen, I was a mall kid as well. I love malls.
You still do?
I mean, but I also, I mean, you put me in a mall, talk to you in 8 hours. I'm good. Bye. but also, like, I don't go to malls that often. So for me now, it's like, this is like a fun event. I used to, like, be dropped off at the mall because my parents needed to put me somewhere.
Yeah,
you know, like,
totally.
You know, so that me and, you know, my friend weren't just like climbing the walls all day kind of thing. So like, I get it. A mall is it's nostalgic for me. But I mean, in many ways, it's like truly the worst.
It is. I'm the same. I have a really hard time with malls.
Yeah. Well, because it's, you know, it's all just a very... in your face, you know, everything's for sale. And trying to trick you kind of into buying.
I feel kind of trapped too. Like when I go into like a casino where you're like, where's the exit? I feel kind of claustrophobic. The smells from like the fried food, like at the, you know, like, I don't know.
Not
a big fan.
But I mean, to your point, Paul, because I realize, you know, what the point you're making is like, okay, malls, not good. You know, panic attacks, not good. Nobody wants that. But there are certain online behaviors that can trigger that same type of thing, which I really do, you know, I empathize with that. I feel like we're all, you know, everybody, like, you know, you and me, Heather, and everyone listening to the show, I feel like we're all smart enough to know when, you know, we're being
marketed at.
Served up to, you know, whatever the term is. Like, we know that that's happening. And sometimes you're just like, you should have done better. I'm not buying this. And other times I'm like, I know what you're doing, but like, these are great pillows.
Yeah.
And then like yet other times where I'm just like, I don't even know this brand. I'm buying these shoes.
Just being impulsive. But you know, I think ignorance is bliss. And when we were younger, going to the mall was fun because we didn't think about marketing and we didn't think about consumerism and, you know, piles of garbage like encompassing, you know, the planet Earth. I mean, we're older now.
Oh yeah, like fast fashion. Not a term I thought about when I was 11.
We didn't care about that. We wanted whatever we wanted, and we never really overthought, you know, about the situation. So nowadays, I think it's too much information that ignorance is bliss.
I think also a lot depends on where you grew up. You know, you know, were you in like full on suburbs? Were you in a city? Were you in the country? I mean, I would say my upbringing was, I mean, I always say like I grew up in the country, which I did, but I wasn't far away from a suburb. I could go to the mall, you know, for the day and then come back, you know, to my apple orchard where I lived, kind of thing. But, yeah, I mean, I didn't go to the mall to buy things. I mean, of course I would have loved to buy everything, you know, but like my mom didn't drop, you know, me and Gina Lewis off in the morning to like mm-hmm. buy things at Macy's. Mm-hmm. She was just like, don't leave the mall, okay? I'll be back in 8 hours. And we're like, great. You know, yeah, totally. Like maybe we had like $5 for like Sparrow Pizza, but we weren't like buying things. We were just hanging out there. And there were a yeah. lot of other kids there.
Yeah.
That was very, very normal to us. Yes,
totally. It was kind of a social thing, you know, and now it's kind of like we don't really have who has a lot of time to just wander a mall. I just don't really have a lot of that free time. And I would probably choose to do a lot of other activities before I would choose to do that. I mean, unless I really needed, I was beelining for Sephora and I needed this one, like an eye pencil or like I need something very specific. Those are the times that I find myself in or near a mall is because that's where those places are.
Well, I mean, that's why, yeah, like that, you know, I just had this conversation with somebody the other day where I'm like, I'm going to go to Target. Do you need anything? And they're like, why are you going to Target? And I'm like, well, I need like eyebrow pencil. It's like, do you need it today? No, but like, it just like gets me in the door.
List.
Yeah. know. You know? And then like, there's then probably other things.
Other things. But, yeah.
Exactly. Right. Like, it's mall-esque. It really is.
It is mall-esque.
You know? Because you're just sort of like, oh, batteries. Yeah. I needed a 9-volt battery because my, you know, stupid smoke alarm is being weird. You know, like there's always something.
There is always something.
I don't know. I mean, there are people who don't like to run errands. And I mean, I don't like to run errands under duress. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, you know, working from home and doing, you know, like what we're doing right now, it's like it is living the dream in many ways. But boy, when it's over, I'm like, I need to get out of my house.
Yeah, you do.
And so I'm going to go to Target and buy a battery.
Sometimes Elijah just goes to like the local health food store just to get out. I'm like, what are you going to get?
Oh, yeah. He's and like, just look at nutritional labels. Yeah.
He's like, I'm just going to wander around and just like, I'll probably get something, yeah. but I don't really have a point 100%. Of where I'm going.
I feel that. I feel that so much. Like someone's like, oh, grocery store, like ugh, the worst. And I'm like, I go there to escape. Life.
Totally. Yeah.
I'm just going to look at lettuce.
It's like window shopping, Paul. Yeah. I mean, it's a browsing experience.
I guess. Yeah. Yeah. It's window shopping. Yeah, yeah. It really is. Well, Heather, right, I think that we will descend into madness if we keep talking about malls and shopping anymore
today.
That we already have. but thank y'all for keeping up with us as long as you have. If you're new to the show, we're episode 233. You know, a lot of folks actually tell us that they discovered the show at some point and are working their way up, you know,
I love
up through, you know, our back catalog where I'm like, oh, you must really like our voices.
I know. I love it.
Because, I mean, I can't stand the sound of myself, but thank you. But yeah, I mean, we have covered a lot of ground. So
yeah, we have.
That's awesome. That's awesome. If you are joining us mid journey, then welcome. Glad to have you. Thanks to everybody who's been with us from the very beginning and those of you who might be joining us after the fact and listening to this on a delay of sorts.
I just want to get all y'all in a room and give you a big hug.
Big hugs.
One of these days, maybe that'll happen. But until then, stay sexy out there. And I will be Heather forever. I promise.
You sure will. And I will be Sarah for ever also. Couldn't think of anything to write. Have such a good day.
Later.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.